Coleman, Mr. French, and Ms. Lee. Boss, you're here for, Mr. Coleman, would you like to reserve some time for rebuttal?
Yes, Your Honor, I would. I was told I should sign in.
Yes.
Now or after.
Sure, why don't you go ahead and sign in now? And Ms. Lee, have you signed in as well?
I have.
Okay. And would you like to reserve some time for rebuttal, sir?
Yes, ma'am, I would.
How long?
Two minutes.
2 minutes, okay.
Just prior to you begin, there are 9 assignments of error. Mm-hmm. And if I've computed the calendar correctly, many of them are defaulted by virtue of the fact that your objections were entered after the expiration of the 21-day rule in circuit court. You want to address that first?
Yes, Your Honor, since you ask. Some of them, the objections are better described when discussing it. But
it might help you to know that from at least as far as I'm concerned, what I conclude is that there are 3 assignments of error that are preserved. The finding that the child's habitual residence was the Republic of Korea, the finding that the father violated mother's custody rights, and the awarding of attorney's fees and costs. Those are the 3 that I think you actually preserved, but if you want to address them, mm-hmm. That's fine.
Well, Your Honor, as to the finding of a grave risk of harm, I believe that would have been noted on the.
Well, on your brief, you I'll help you here. On your brief, you contend that you preserved signed errors 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7 in your objections to the final order. Those objections were filed on May 29, 2015. But the final order was entered on April 27, 2015, so it looks to me like those were well after the 21 days had expired.
Well, several things about that. I thought that there were draft orders on which I, when they were submitted, I did include a basic objection to the finding of a grave risk of harm. Many of the assignments or the objections and I listed them as separate assignments of error because there's some really extraordinary circumstances that help show why a fact determination, which ordinarily would be entitled to great deference. In this case, was actually plainly wrong and could be challenged, and many of them are really the arguments on behalf of the objections that I had already made to those findings. I think that they're really more arguments on behalf of the objections than separate objections or separate errors. Some of them are things that detract irregular, if not illegal, perhaps not illegal but irregular things the circuit court did in the process, which logically should detract from how much deference its fact finding would give. For example, the standard in Virginia for how much deference a fact finding is entitled to already varies depending on if it's an Ori Tennis determination or determination.
Well, I don't want to belabor the point, just because obviously the basic premise is that we don't address issues on appeal, the trial court, the circuit court in this case, hasn't had an opportunity to address themselves. And when you file objections after the expiration of the 21-day period, obviously the circuit court does not have the opportunity to address it. But can we at least get to the issue, because I think it's an issue of first impression in Virginia, about the application of the Hague Convention, whether the child's habitual, whether there's evidence to support the conclusion of the lower court that the child's habitual residence was Korean?
Mm-hmm. Yes, habitual residence, it's an essential element of any Hague Convention case, part of the prima facie case, and if it's not proven that the habitual residence was in the other country at the time that the wrongful removal or wrongful retention here occurred, then the court doesn't have discretion to do anything. The case fails. The child can't be returned to Korea. I think besides what I already cited in the brief, I wanted to point out that there was one very clear statement about this was made by the mother herself, and it's something that I my appendix citation I saw was left blank, but it was to the document is at page 347 of the appendix, near the bottom of the fourth column, where while the case in juvenile court and the parties' differences and the inquiries into possible abuse or disturbances of the child are already going on, after what the circuit court later characterized as the wrongful removal, the ex-wife writes to the husband that she and the child had come here intending to stay permanently, and that she changed their minds or was up in the changed her mind or was up in the air now because of the father's actions that the court calls wrongful removal, the intention to stay permanently really is versus a visit is a core issue in where is the habitual residence, and the mother's brief has argued that there are some cases where a shared intent to not change habitual residence can be overcome by changing facts on the ground, but this is something where the mother herself reveals that at the time they came here and until the wrongful removal, as the court saw it, they were intending to stay permanently.
Do you think that that overweighs the fact that this child, for a number of years prior to the wrongful removal, lived, you would agree that her habitual residence was Korea?
Well, Your Honor, I didn't agree with that because there's very conflicting evidence about the terms under which she took the child and whether the parties back in the past had agreed to that and how long a length of time they had agreed to. So,
but the empirical fact is that for a number of years she resided in Korea.
Yes, Your Honor, and the testimony indicated that she'd moved around a lot. The father testified that he never been told the exact address, although they did communicate a lot and occasionally visited. I think the objection.
Is shared intent the only factor to be considered?
No, Your Honor.
Another factor, obviously, that's the fact that the child was, in effect, acclimatized to Korea over a relatively substantial period of time.
Well, I think acclimatizing is what the Moses opinion says can change the effect of a shared intent over time. But this intention to move here is described as being at the time the mother and child came here from Korea. On the Overall, on the issue of preservation of errors, I believe that all objections that the appeal is based on were preserved, and that the ends of justice exception should not be needed, but also that the particular circumstances would justify the ends of justice exception if needed, and I think I can describe more about that as I talk about the areas that's relevant to. I see the time's getting short, and I'd like to first address the other discrete issues that aren't all balled up together, and then the issue of where facts and law kind of come together. On the issue of whether there was a wrongful removal by the father and whether it breached the mother's custody rights and when that was, whether it was before or after the discovery of disturbing evidence that would justify keeping the daughter here and finding out what's going on, the parties agree that the parents had equal rights of custody under Virginia or Korean law. There had never been any custody order. But in her final ruling, the trial judge took the view that the father was engaging in wrongful removal and was also morally wrong, as well as wrong in the Hague Convention sense, by anything he did without the mother. Apparently, taking the child to the teddy bear store, taking her to his apartment overnight, that those were breaches of custody, and that they inherently made anything he any evidence from after that point somewhat suspect, and that it was something that he had to justify and couldn't. For one thing, I think it's reasonable to look at that as being more the norm in this family. They didn't consult on everything. There was the three-year history of the mother having taken the child to Korea and living wherever she wanted, not even telling the father. And then, in this particular situation, the child had come 7,000 miles for the express purpose of seeing the father in person for an extended amount of time, not just the Skype and the short visits. I think it was completely reasonable of him to, for example, take the child to his apartment overnight. But that legal mistake of the judge, I think, led into and compounded the factual errors. Now, as Appelli says, the standard for reviewing facts as opposed to law, or the application of law to facts in the Hague Convention, is whether it's clearly erroneous. In Virginia, it's plainly wrong, which sounds similar, or without any evidence to support it. And I believe that there's key findings that are clearly erroneous. And these are simple logical errors that could have been corrected would have been corrected if there were a closing argument. The judge said that the father's explanation for taking the child to his home for the night that he gave at the second day of trial was completely circular. That he went to Target to buy clothes because he decided to keep the child at home because...
Did he withhold custody for at least a week or more? It wasn't just an overnight situation.
The mother's reaction made it snowball. But that's what she ruled was...
That he withheld the child from the mother for more than just a one-time
night. Yeah, there were still visits with the mother, but the more suspicious and just very, very troubling things.
I assume it's a yes to Judge.
Thank you.
Okay,
yes.
We are into your rebuttal. Now, we're happy to hear from you if you wish to continue, or if you want to save it for rebuttal, you can do that.
Your Honor, I believe I'd continue and wait for rebuttal.
Okay, sure.
The fact is, there, as cited in the brief, the father had already explained at the first trial, which was about the wrongful removal issue, as opposed to grave risk, why he that he already was going there to buy clothes because she'd come to this country without clothes. I believe he also said they were thinking of staying at his place just because it was late. Because the judge, after I think keeping an open mind on credibility, finally found something where she thought she could tell someone was being dishonest. She, from there, she concluded credibility and improper motives, which then colored all her interpretation of the evidence on whether there was grave risk of harm. This court requested information and evidence about what was happening in Korea since the return, and that's been submitted. And I believe it shows that what the judge attributed to the father is going on even worse in Korea without his influence. There's abuse accusations for he never was anywhere near the child, and I believe they show that the re-return, which the Chafin case says can be done regardless of whether there's custody jurisdiction, including federal cases which don't have child custody jurisdiction, that's possible. And I think on remand, the circuit court should and may actually do that.
May it please the court, my name is So Young Lee for the appellee. I would like to address the habitual residence. Mr. Crouch, the appellant's counsel, talked about the fact that they agreed that she would come visit, and then that there was a certain communication from the mother to the father that she thought about living here in the States when she came. That's really neither here nor there at this point. That was during the litigation, in possibly trying to settle, possibly trying to see the child. But the point of whether the intent of the parties might have factored into the case would have been prior to the removal or retention, prior to the Hague Convention case. And at this point, I just want to address the fact that because the child was 7 years old, it's not like the case of, I think, Whiting, where the child, Christina, was only 18 months old. In that case, the intent of the parents did weigh in heavily as to where the habitual residence of that 18-month-old child is. But in the federal court, the court says at some point in time, even if, and that's an if, we don't concede that mother ever intended to make the U.S. the habitual residence of the child, but the federal court said even if there was such a shared intention between the parties, at some point in time, that the child's perspective, whether she settled in that country, in this case Korea, whether she's been acclimatized to Korea, and there was evidence from the forensic expert that she talked about missing Korea, wanting to go back to Korea. There was ample evidence.
Let me interrupt you a little bit.
Yes, sir.
I think we can simplify it. It seems to me, and if you disagree with anything I'm about to say, please interrupt me and tell me if you disagree. But it seems to me we're dealing, the threshold issue that we're dealing with here is whether this court even has any jurisdiction, or any Virginia court has any jurisdiction at this point. We have a treaty of which the United States and Korea are both signatories,
yes.
And we have a federal statute implementing that treaty. And when you construe them together, they basically stand for the proposition that where you have selected a forum, in this case Korea, initially,
yes,
that court has jurisdiction and sole jurisdiction to dispose of matters like this, unless certain criteria are met, namely sexual abuse of the children or something of that nature that's not effectively being dealt with by the foreign court. Here we have a factual finding by the circuit court by the juvenile court, that appellant did not carry their burden of proof in that respect. And that's not subject to de novo review by us. So it seems to me, if, and correct me if I'm wrong now, but given that situation, if that circumstance has not been proven, and everybody seems to concede that Korea was the forum where this matter was initiated prior to any court action here in the Commonwealth of Virginia, that court, under the treaty and the federal statute, have the sole is the sole forum for which these matters can be disposed of. Am I incorrect about anything I said so far?
I'm not. I perhaps may not have understood what you were telling me correctly, but I think the Korean case was filed after the appeal, after the adjudication in the Arlington Circuit Court that the child should be returned to Korea. So if there had been a pending case in Korea at the time that father removed the child or father retained the child here and there was a Hague Convention,
but there was no pending case in Virginia.
There was no at the time.
So at the time,
right.
Now, I realize there was back and forth.
Yes.
But at the moment when Korea acquired jurisdiction,
yes.
There was no jurisdiction in Virginia.
Yes, okay. That's correct, yes. So I agree that at this point, Korea has sole jurisdiction of this case. They've taken jurisdiction. The case is still pending there. And no Virginia court would have jurisdiction of this case under The Hague nor the UCCJEA. So that's why I argued mootness. But aside from all that, I don't think that at this point, habitual residence and violation of custodial rights do you want me to go in and argue against Mr.?
It seems to me if Korea has jurisdiction, we don't have to.
That's what I was kind of thinking, yes. I agree. And should I address the attorney fees issue or not?
Well, it's up to you, but it is on appeal.
Well, Mr. Crouch didn't address it, so as the appellee, I don't know whether I should.
Well, you addressed it on brief, so.
Yes, and I addressed it on brief.
You need to address anything that was addressed on brief or in oral argument if you wish to, because we consider both.
I would like to say that the attorney's fees under the ICARA is mandatory unless there is a reason for the court to exercise discretion.
Would that apply to this court as well? In other words, would appellate attorney's fees be mandatory in your interpretation of the statute?
Yes. So, and I would say that the exceptional circumstances did not exist in this case, and even if, and the court did not abuse its discretion when they order when. Judge, the circuit court judge ordered the entire fees and the cost of travel to be reimbursed to the appellee. So I just wanted to address that it was mandatory. I'm sure you already know, but for me that was an important factor. I think that's all I have.
Thank you. We'll come and recap.